Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
Welcome, Morris, to Morris Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Tahaka Amana El Bay, and tonight's broadcast will be contract law and how to get paid. Now, we have discussed some of this earlier in previous broadcasts, but what we're going to do tonight is we're going to ask that you have your paper and pencil handy because we're going to lay this whole thing out for you so you can get a offset look at it. At the forest from a distance. All too often we hear people say that you're too close and you can't see the forest for the trees. So let's deal with this thing this evening. We're going to answer the following questions. How contract law works and how do you profit? What is meant by accepting the offer? What is meant by making a counteroffer? How do you seek informal resolution? How do you act on formal resolution? How is the United States system of law set up to benefit people under contract law as creditors? What about loved ones locked up in jails across the U.S.? What about driving without a driver's license in the U.S.? What do you do when you receive threatening letters in the mail from bill collectors and other agencies? These questions and more we're going to attempt to answer for you this evening, and we're going to try to lay this whole thing out for you. Let me start right now. Number one, we've already covered that the United States of America is no longer a country. It is a corporation. Number two, we have a fiat currency that with no gold backing it up. However, the entire country operates under what's called contract law. They also operate using debtors or creditors. You're going to either be one or the other. It doesn't matter if you're male or female, black, white, green, blue, purple, none of that. Now, it simply boils down to the fact that we have long understood, the more you understand, that there is no law that prohibits you from acting and making contract, there's nothing stopping you from doing that, okay? But once you learn the rules of the game, just like any game that you would play, if you don't know how to, you don't understand the rules, you can't play the game successfully, okay? Now, we're going to have live feed coming in here from Gordon Hall, and this guy's a contract law expert, even though we have given you other information on it. But we're going to try to make this as plain as possible, as plain as I can possibly make it, so you can actually take it and use it to change the circumstances that you have in your life immediately. Okay? This is my primary objective. First of all, tonight we're offering our free articles, the 14th Amendment Exposed, as well as the Commerce Game. For those of you who are new, if you don't have that, just simply contact me at tahaka99@yahoo.com. I send it to you as an email attachment. That's Tahaka, T-A-R-H-A-K-A, 99, at yahoo.com, and I'll get that to you as an email attachment. That's Commerce Game and How to Play and the 14th Amendment Exposed. It's very important for you to understand these two things, okay? Now, that's it doesn't cost you a dime. Just simply send me an email. We'll get that to you. Number two, the information that you're about to receive tonight is already into Hawkins Library. The way you access that library is simply call me at area code 904-303-9061. Try to give me a holler before 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll get you in there. All the information that we're about to discuss tonight is already there. You can go over and over and over till you get it down to a science. It's there. There are tons and tons of other information available for you in this particular library. This is, without a doubt, the most comprehensive library in the history of the United States. And the way you access that is call me, area code 904-303-9061. We'll get that to you. Also, on the 20th of May, we got Dr. Booker T. Coleman. He'll be right here in Jacksonville, Florida. So don't hesitate to call us, and we get that information to you. You can purchase the tickets or what have you. You can learn more about that. Just give me a ring, and we'll get that to you. Okay? All right. Now, I'm going to start off, and we're going to open this thing up first with Gordon Hall. And we're going to hear what the guy have to say in about 4 minute max, okay? So just sit still.
Have an opinion that you would like to share on ideals like the Restore America Plan or similar types of things that are going on?
Well, consider this, if you will. If you can believe that I tell you that the Republic is right here, right now, healthy and alive, the democracy is right here, healthy and alive, what are you going to restore? And are you, this government will give you the creditor if you know how to assert your rights, everything you could possibly want in the form of discharging your debts, setting off your accounts, criminal accounts or otherwise. It doesn't get any better than now. And, you know, one of the things that I would encourage many to think of, like you've had a paradigm shift, is what are you, out of your minds? These governments have aircraft carriers, nuclear weapons, and modern technology you don't even understand. And any kind of let's take up arms is absolutely a silly thought. One, it's in violation of God's laws. Number two, it's absolutely completely unnecessary in light of the fact that the Republic is right here, right now. The lights are on, but nobody's in the building. And so each of you and each of us can have all that we want. But it doesn't get better than this. And if you give that some serious thought and understanding how deep this contract law stuff goes and how superb your remedy can be obtained through just alleviating yourself of some ignorance, because freedom and ignorance cannot coexist, and it never has and never will be. And there's no need to take up violence. Get that completely from your mind. And to say that these public servants are treasonous, please, I'm telling you, all of these public servants are doing a great job for the democracy. Now, I'm not in the democracy. I don't choose to be part of that political entity. And therefore, what care I what rules they pass? They have a right to do what they want with their property, just like if you or I own a car. If I want to eat McDonald's food in it and not wash it, and I consider it my car, I should be allowed to do what I want with it. Why are we, if you're in the Republic and you're sovereign, why would you interfere with this democracy? That democracy is there for those that want benefits and privileges and to be taken care of, and they have every right to ask for and seek such. And this government can't give what it doesn't have. How could it possibly give gold that it doesn't have over to a bunch of beneficiaries with their mouths open? But if you print money, fiat money, you can do such a thing. You can help them to print their own and give it to them as a government. This is such a good government. These politicians are doing an admirable job in the democracy. And if you listen to all of our stuff about it, it will become clear to you, in my opinion, but maybe not. Many people won't agree with it. But if you would restore America, what are you going to restore? It's already here and now. There doesn't get better than a perfect government, a complete and whole government that operates in the republic for me, for Brandon, for Jack, and many others, and operates in the democracy for those that desire that. Boy, I'd restore America? I thought it was already here. And I don't see anything that would lead me to the contrary.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, let's try to put this thing in proper perspective right here. That was Garden Hall in the first plug. I told you that the United States of America operates under what's called contract law. No matter what happens, we and I've said it over and over and over and over again. And my free articles, the 14th Amendment and the Commerce Game, all that's laid out the same thing. Anytime your bill collectors, the sheriff's department, it doesn't matter who they are, the Social Security Administration, anybody contact you, if you notice, your name is in all capital letters. The reason being is because that's what they're dealing with. If you are pulled over and given a citation, you have to you agree to be the fiction that they say you are. You got a driver's license in your pocket. You give that driver's license to them, and name is all capital letters. If you don't have a driver's license, they ask your name, they write the name down, they go in the car, they put it up on the screen, it's all capital letters. What they're doing is they are operating against the fiction. But in order for them to deal with you, you have to agree to be the fiction. Now, let's say that we got smart enough to try to make some changes, and we decided that, okay, enough is enough. I'm tired of playing this here game. I'm tired of paying out the nose. I'm tired of going along with this thing. I'm going to do some changes. So the first thing we need to understand is what are the rules of this particular game that they call life inside the United States of America Corporation that has a game going on. Once you learn the rules of any game, it doesn't matter if it's Monopoly, if it's checkers, or it's chess. It doesn't matter what game you're playing. You can win if you understand the rules of the game. Now, today, I'm going to lay the rules out for you with the help of this gentleman here that's going to be on here. We're going to lay it out for you, make it real, real simple and plain for you. Anytime someone contacts you or if they are trying to stop you, a police stop or what have you, and they say, well, look, you got a busted taillight, you don't have any driver's license, and your tag expires, I'm going to have to write you a ticket. Okay, well, what he just made to you is called an offer. He is offering to write you a ticket. So, therefore, go ahead and accept his offer. You follow me? Go ahead. There ain't no need for you to get excited. But, oh, man, I ain't going for this. I ain't doing that. I want to fight. No, we won't do that. No, don't do that. What we're going to do is accept his offer, and we're going to issue what's called a counter offer. Okay, number one, he pull up behind you, got his light flashing. So, number one, he's declaring an emergency. Okay, now, if there is no emergency, the number one thing that he has done is already committed a felony right then. But we're not going to even deal with that. We're going to just throw that off to the side. Number two, he can only deal with the fiction. Now, if you agree what he's going to do, if you agree to be the fiction, he's going to attach the physical body to the fiction. And as long as you ride that train, he's going to police the fiction, ride the fiction. The only thing you got to do is pay and go through it until you wake up and learn the rules of the game and turn the game around in your favor, because you do not want to be a debtor. You got to stop being a debtor, and you got to learn how to be a creditor. And the only way you can do that is you're going to have to learn how to play the game. Now, keep in mind, for those of you who have already gotten a hold of my library, all this information is in there. We also have your executive estate, how to craft the letter that you need to be the executor of that estate, who to give it to, how to handle yourself. So if someone runs into that, they just simply run into a brick wall. Now, if you need to contact me and get a hold of this thing so you can get busy and start solving some of the problems that you're complaining about having, the information is here. The time is right. It's right here, right now. All you got to do is contact me, okay? All right, now, we're going to go to the next segment, and we're going to move through this thing, and eventually we're going to lay this thing all out for you on the table.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to get the same thing these men got, the same thing I get, the same thing we all get when we do something out of norm, when you are not towing the company line. Your brothers and sisters are going to, with great noise, are going to just not want this to be, because it can't be in their minds. And you can hear story after story of these wonderful accomplishments of people that persevered. You all can persevere and win your game. This is merely a game. The rules are set in stone. This is not some loophole in the government that's going to be plugged. Contract law is omnipotent. It is what glues the entire civil society together. There is nothing else. You need merely understand how to contract, and you will cease to be a pawn in the game, but a player. You will cease to be used. You will cease to suffer needlessly with your mountains of debt, problems, indictments, all these things. To learn to contract is to learn to love your brothers and sisters, to no longer be at odds with them. Your personal relationships are going to improve. Your business relationships are going to improve. And the yoke of tyranny strapped about your neck in the form of taxation is going to ease radically. The world is ready for all of you. But you have to persevere. You cannot quit. There are too many examples of absolute success and failure in this, from wins in double murder to people out of jail, from Dr. Jacaron to others that we've done, to people not doing supervised release. Rick is our third supervised release case of success. And I'm telling you, there's nothing you can't accomplish with contracting. Every man is where he is by the law of his being. The thoughts which he has built into his character have brought him there. And in the arrangement of his life, there is no element of chance. But all is the result of a law which cannot err, a contract which cannot err. This is just as true of those who feel out of harmony with their surroundings as of those which are contented with them. It's your world, ladies and gentlemen. It's everything you want it to be. Everything you contract for is yours. But you're going to have to persevere.
Okay. Let's take some case in points. Let's go back to the office again. They pull you over. License flashing. You don't have a driver's license. You don't have a tag on the car. So he decides that, okay, I'm not going to take you to jail, but I am going to write you a ticket. What you have to understand at that particular point is he has just made the fiction an offer. If you accept his offer and say, I'm going to go ahead and accept that, can I get you a name and badge number? Are you stopping me? Am I free to go? You had your lights flashing. I need to know where the injured party is. We got past all that. And you go ahead and accept this offer. Now, at this point, here's a man that has written you a ticket against something that you are not. But you are in a disagreement with that because you know the difference between a proper and improper noun. And you are no longer attempting to act in commerce as a debtor. You are acting as a creditor. So you're going to accept his offer, and then you are going to exercise your authority and issue a counter offer that carries liability, because you have several Supreme Court rulings that have already told you have the right to travel. And it is as following: traveling in an automobile on a public road was not a threat to the public safety or health and constituted no hazard to the public, and such a traveler owned no other duty to the public, the state. He or she is his or her automobile having equal rights to and on the roadways, highways, and horses and wagons, etc. This same right is still substantive rule in that speeding, running a stop sign, traveling without license plate or registration, and having are not threats to the public safety and thus are not arrestable offenses. Christie versus Elliott, and all of the codes are there for this particular Supreme Court ruling. And you got six or seven others that gives you the right to travel. The only person that needs a driver's license is somebody operating in commerce. If you're driving a taxi cab, if you're driving a city bus, if you're driving an oil truck, you're driving a tractor trailer, and you use that to make your money, then you're acting in commerce. But if you're not acting in commerce, then you don't need a driver's license. So when a man stop you and say, well, look, I got to write you a ticket because you don't have proper registration, or your taillight's out, or I pull you over because your tag was expired. All this is nothing more than highway robbery, and if you agree to go along with it, they'll go ahead and rob you. And but now when you go down to your downtown station, you might have had expired driver license. They say, well, you're $75. But guess what? We need $500. And $50 for coke calls, and all is real because you agreed to be something or someone that you are not. So when you understand the rules of the game and you learn how to play, then you can play successfully. Now, let's go back to the counter offer. So what we're going to do now is we're going to accept the offer, and we're going to this guy's liable because we don't need a driver's license. He has written us a ticket in commerce against a law, fictitious entity that constitutes fraud. He's taking his wages under false pretenses. We're going to charge him $5,000 for that offense. The next thing is we're going to seek resolution, informal resolution. We're going to contact the sheriff. We're going to contact the captain, and we'll send them a mail, but before we send this stuff, we're going to go ahead and make copies of it, then send it to them, and tell them what happened, that we was innocent, and what we have every right to travel, we wasn't operating commerce, what we need them to do is just go ahead and dismiss this thing. If they don't do that, then you have done everything you could to informally get this situation resolved, so you have no choice now but to file and place a lien against the officer in question and file formal charges as you have them laid out based on the robbery or what they're attempting to do against you, and file it with the county clerk's office, and they'll go ahead and serve the guy. Okay? All right. Now, this is the basic formula of how contracts work. First of all, someone will make you an offer. You go ahead and accept their offer, and then you enter a counter offer, which carries liability. You list the liabilities and stuff, but you go ahead and seek every opportunity to solve the matter informally, so you won't bog down the courts with it. You know, you want to make sure that they understand that you did everything you possibly could to get this thing changed. You went to your brother. You tried to get him to change his mind. He refused to do so, so you have no choice now but to call upon the court to settle this matter according to the rules of the game of contract law. You understand what I'm saying to you? Okay. And that's just one instance. Same thing with your mortgage company, same thing with your bill collectors, same thing with the banking system. You just keep doing the same thing. Okay?
Now, Brandy is a guy who likes to run around with a private plate not on his car or a public plate on his car. Randy's all into this, shoot him up and try it out and see how the party goes. Now, I don't encourage you to do what he does, but I said, what in the world are you doing this for? He says, well, I'm having fun. I'm just testing and learning. Very interesting. Would you describe and tell for us what happened with your recent encounter while on the public rights of way with your automobile with no plate whatsoever front or back upon it?
Actually, I was traveling northbound on the street, and I pulled into a gas station to get some gas, and a L.A. County sheriff, I'm in California, pulled in the gas station behind me and turned on his lights and beeped his siren, and he got out and he walked up to the driver's side of the car, and he said, "I need to see your license, registration, and proof of insurance." And I'm trying to be a creditor. I come kind of from the Patriot movement, so usually more demanding in my rights, but I tried to stay in the question. And so I told him, "Well, who are you?" And his response was, "I'm a L.A. County sheriff." And I said, "Could I see some identification, please?" Just like what Al Gordon said. And he said, "This badge, this uniform, and that car is my identification." And I told him that wouldn't be good enough. There was you can rent that stuff in Hollywood right here. And how do I know he's really a police officer? I said, "I'm going to need to see..."
Now, ladies and gentlemen, hold on. Brandy?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen to what Brandy's saying. This is all offer acceptance. Counteroffer, counteroffer. Reoffer, reoffer. So go ahead, Brandy. This is a great story, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, so I tell him, I said, "Well..." He says, "The uniform, the badge, and his car is his ID." I tell him, "That's not going to be good enough because you can rent that stuff." I tell him, "I'm going to need to see your photo ID, a business card, your badge number, and your hazard bond information." And he says, "If you don't give me your driver's license, registration, and proof of insurance, I'm going to drag you out of that car and arrest you." And I said, "Well, I accept your offer to arrest me, conditioned upon prepayment of $1 million in cash and $100,000 for every hour of anticipated detention." And he says, "What? I don't know what you're talking about." I said, "Well, if you don't know what we're talking about, maybe you should get a watch commander out here." And he says, "Well, I don't have a watch commander." And I said, "Well, let me make sure I've got this right. You refused to identify yourself, and now you're making false statements." He says, "Well, my watch commander's all the way in Culver City." I said, "Well..."
Hold it up, Brandy. Hold it up. Brandy, hold it up.
All right.
"Ladies and gentlemen, did you catch that? I don't have a watch commander." And then Brandy gives him an offer. "You're making false statements. Would you repeat again? Start again with that one again, Brandy? Start that part again?"
Yeah, I said, "Maybe you should get a watch commander out here." And he said, "Well, I don't have a watch commander." And I said, "Well, let me make sure I've got this right, because I'm trying to keep it straight. You're refusing to identify yourself, and now you're making false statements," which is exactly what he was doing. We all know he has a watch commander.
No, Brandy, we don't all know that, but you did. And isn't that interesting, ladies and gentlemen? Listen to this. This is so good.
So then he says...
My watch commander's out in Culver City.
Yeah, I said, "Well, get him on the radio, because I got time." And he says, "Why are you giving..."
Now, remember, ladies and gentlemen, this officer says, "My watch commander's all the way out in Culver City." That's an offer. Brandy counters with, "It's okay, I got time." Like, this guy wants to drag his watch commander all the way across town. This is not going to be a very pleasant thing for that police officer. So go ahead, Brandy.
About 35, 40 miles probably up the 405 freeway. But anyway.
So Brandy says, "I got time. Get him out here."
He yells at me, "Why are you giving me such a hard time?" And I said, "Didn't you pull me over?" And he just looked at me for a few seconds, and then he said, "Have a nice day," and walked away and got in his car and left.
Nice story, Brandy. Ladies and gentlemen, what a beautiful interchange of offer and acceptance. Now, I don't encourage any of you to be without any kind of plate, because it is kind of like what we call a pirate vessel on the sea of commerce without some ID. I'd love to see Brandy put a private plate on his car, non-commercial, private property, and a UCC one where he registers a car. And the VIN number to him so that he has some proof of ownership there. So, but nonetheless, what a beautiful sample. And of course, you're hearing all sorts of stuff from, they offered to arrest him, and he kind of used that other one we kind of put out. Well, I'd be happy to let you arrest me. It's $1 million United States dollars prepaid, plus $100,000 for every hour of detainment. Randy's been listening to some heretic out there, I got a feeling. Now remember, ladies and gentlemen, it would be helpful if Randy would unregister the VIN number with the various states, send all that stuff in, and put a notice on a UCC-1 that it's his property, and then give notice to the DMV so that they know it is, and then it will be truly private property because it's going to be posted private. Now, I'm going to have to get, but Randy kind of likes these interchanges and stuff, and anytime you don't have a plate on a car, it's just going to be a constant harassment. But I'd like to see him get a private plate on, get the stuff done right. Because, but nonetheless, take a look at what he's doing, just being a creditor under offer and acceptance all along the way. Are they going to say it's their car? No. It is going to be a bit inconveniencing. But nonetheless, isn't it a pleasure to see contract law be so wonderful?
Yeah.
Got to hand it to you, Brandy. You deserve kudos and laudations it wouldn't be foolishness, but it would be your brassy attitude in dealing with it on such a higher level.
Well, it
would be nice if you'd post that car yours, private property, no trespassing, and I'll get you a copy of it where you can get a plate made for it. You might find your life get a little easier, but man, we got to commend you, brother, because it's an inspiration to all of us to hear that you've taken what you've learned in some of these classes, Brandy, and applied them in a practical application that's showing many of the people out here that this is truly all contract law. Consent makes the law. We thank you very much, my brother.
Thanks. I'm still trying to shake some of the patriot wanting to fight stuff, so I'm slowly becoming a creditor. But so I ask forgiveness.
Now, ladies and gentlemen,
momentary.
I think Brandy's about like 6'5". Brandy's like 6'5 or 6'6", and he looks like he eats bears for breakfast. He's a big old burly fellow with long hair, and, you know, looks like he belongs in a motorcycle gang. So, I mean, you know, it's really interesting, and he sees this. But, you know, even I don't care who you are, you got to know this. They got aircraft carriers, guns we've never heard or seen, and more people than we can want to kill. So you know what? We're outmanned, outgunned, outarmed, and the only way that we can win is love these people, be in harmony, and assert our rights, which Brandy's been doing and many of you have been doing. So what a wonderful thing, Brandy. We appreciate the stories. We appreciate all of your participation this evening. To all of you that are listening, I hope that you bear down on your studies, take courage from these fine men, and know that your remedy is within your reach. You are sovereign. You are the authority. You are a creditor. Somebody asked me the other day, I want to become a sovereign. I hate to tell you all this, you're already sovereign. Every one of you is the authority, and every one of you makes the decisions that make your life easier or more difficult or more challenging. It's up to you. Ladies and gentlemen, I love and appreciate all of you. I appreciate the opportunity to share these messages. Let us all sally forth with love and honor and produce the kind of results and harmony that creditors should be producing out there under God. See y'all at the top. Good evening. Bye-bye.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, what we have here is we have a system of offer and acceptance. It's respected across the land. That's the way the entire country operates. And if you do this successfully, if you do it with ease, you don't have to get excited about it. Just go ahead and accept whatever offers. Listen very carefully to what they're saying to you. You can counter your offers. You can go ahead and draw your paperwork off and do what you have to do and lay it out on the paper, seeking formal resolution, and then you can go ahead and file your documents there in the Small Claims Court with your liabilities attached and the amount of money that you asked for each offense, and put it down in there. And because you have to understand, and we're going to get into that later on. We're coming up. But now I have a caller in here. I see somebody got their hand raised, so we're going to open up the line here and see what kind of question and comment we got here. Okay, area code 562. Can you tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Hello?
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
What's up?
Who am I speaking to?
This is Frederick.
All right, Frederick, what's your question or comment?
Now, I'm like most Americans. I don't understand the first thing about contract law, but I was wondering, what does it mean to make a counteroffer when you're in a courtroom?
A counteroffer in a courtroom?
No. My legal advisor, Mr. Wright, he tells me often that in a court of law, you have to be careful what kind of counteroffer you make, or else you're just going to end up in the gutter as far as the deal goes. So recently I caught myself in a nasty old civil rights case because I've been shooting at the people who've been spitting out my lawn. And my attorney, Mr. Rye, he's been telling me that the only way to get around is to make a counteroffer. What does that mean?
Well, you say that you were in the courtroom. Is that correct?
I was in the courtroom. The first thing he said, make a counteroffer. I was like, okay, sir, but I'm not exactly sure what that means. So I'm in the middle of the lobby right now calling you to make sure I know what that means. Here he is right now over here, Mr. Wright. What the hell are you doing?
All right, wait a minute now. We got a wrong kind of language going on.
The phone. What is this? Take off.
Okay, all right. Now, let's deal with that. If you first of all, you have to understand that if you've gotten already into court and someone sent you something in the mail and say you got to go to court or what have you, number one, I've already told you that we're dealing with a straw man and you're going to have to be in agreement to get up in there. And so if you are already in there, I don't see how the counteroffer can work for you in a situation like that. But what I will say is that before you get there, you're going to have to understand that contract law exists and that they are dealing with straw man. So if you are called to court, what may be a good idea if you see something in the mail, if you go ahead and send them a letter and let them know that the fiction that they're claiming that you are is simply not you, and you're being inconvenienced, and that you're going to appear in court so you can challenge the status and jurisdiction of the court, because you have to keep in mind that they are all members of the bar, including public defenders, prosecuting attorneys, lawyers, all judges, all members of the bar. This is a foreign British corporation, so therefore they have no jurisdiction, and but they will take jurisdiction over the straw man if you agree to be that. It's just that simple. So now, what you want to do is step one is to learn everything that you can possibly learn about the subject that we are talking about, which is contract law. Now, once you understand that and you understand the rules of the game, it's just like any other game, just like you playing Monopoly, just like you playing chess, or just like you playing checkers. You begin to create your own strategies to win. Because you got the rules of the game. You understand how the game is work. You understand how to play the game because you know the rules. Okay? But now you don't misplay the game and get in trouble and then turn around and try to change the game in midstream. You want to learn everything you can about it, and then you can you can take it from there. Okay? All right. Now, let's deal with your mortgage companies and threats from your mortgage company. We didn't receive your payment. We're making every effort to try to receive the payment. So go ahead on and send them a letter and ask them, just let them know that when you sign the papers for your home, the mortgage company told you that the bank would give you the loan. Okay, when you got to the bank gave you some papers to fill out, but the bank never gave you a check. So what you're going to need to do is ask the mortgage company. They'd be kind enough to forward you a copy of the check that the bank used to provide the loan to you, and so that you can put it with your records. And if they can't do that, could you provide us with the bank that actually supposedly gave you the loan, so you can go there and get a copy of that showing that the bank actually gave you a loan the way they said that they would do. Okay? Now, keep in mind, we're still operating under contract law. Everything is an offer. You simply come back with a counter offer. Same thing with your bill collectors. Creditors. People contact you and say, well, if you're ruining your credit, and if you don't do this, we're going to do that, that, this, that, and the other. Go ahead and make a copy of that, and go ahead and send them a letter letting them know that you're going to accept their offer, and you're going to issue a counteroffer, and it's going to cost them X amount of dollars for this, X amount of dollars for that, and go ahead and see if you can find out who their boss is or who are in charge of them or who are over them, and send a few letters up top there and ask them to go ahead and just throw that thing out. And because you're seeking informal resolution, if you can't get that, then you can go ahead on and file formal resolution. Okay? It's real, real simple. It's called contract law. Acceptance and reacceptance. You want to make sure an offer, go ahead and accept it. Go ahead and make your counter offer. Okay? All right. Now, what we're going to do now is we're going to go ahead and we're going to open up this thing here for a little bit more information. I want you to listen very, very carefully. I'm trying to make this as simple as possible. For those of you who are just tuning in, we're dealing with contract law and how to get paid. Okay? Now, in a lot of cases, you don't have to go to court. You can settle this with the president of companies and stuff. Just go ahead and send them your paperwork. And he gets your paperwork, and he calls you and say, well, look, I'm trying to get a hold of you. I'm trying to figure out what's going on and what is this right here. Well, you got the paperwork. Everything should be in order. What are you asking for? Well, it's all right there in the paperwork. Everything's laid out. I did everything I could to try to settle this matter. We couldn't get it settled, so I had no choice but to send you my terms and so we can take it from there. Okay? So let's go into the next segment here.
This presentation is brought to you by BenLowry.com.
Gordon, thank you so much for agreeing to speak to us today. I know you're a busy guy, and I really appreciate you agreeing to let me interview you. How are you?
Most excellent, Ben, and thank you for the opportunity to be with you today.
Well, it's my pleasure. And before we get started with some questions, I just wanted to ask you, how was the seminar, the Creditors in Commerce seminar in Chicago last weekend?
I was just fine. Some new things. Had a good time.
Great. Well, cool. So, Gordon, I've got a list of questions here. And one of the first things I wanted to ask you about is a lot of people email me and ask me, you know, how do we become sovereign? How do we become a free man on the land? Do we need to file paperwork? Do we need to do a security agreement or something? What's your view on that?
Well, I like that question. I think it's very important for people to understand words. And if you don't understand what words are, how are you going to know what it is? The word sovereign, another word for sovereign, Ben, is authority. And you ask me, how does one become the authority in their life? Well, allow me to tell you how that is. You are already blessed with that. God gave you that inherent right. And only in governments where there's a dictatorship or an unruly monarchy or those types of government where you have a republic and a democracy, every one of you are completely in charge. There is no paperwork required to file or any other such fashion. So from my point of view, and it works every time, you are already sovereign don't let somebody tell you you got to file a bunch of paperwork and this and that, and et cetera, et cetera.
Right. I see. So no paperwork is required. If you know what you're doing, you can do everything verbally. Is that what you mean?
Well, orally, yes. That doesn't mean you can do everything. There are set-offs and things you need to respond to in writing sometimes, but that does not mean that a good contract law expert is not capable of merely orally dealing with whatever situation comes his way.
Right. Yeah, okay, cool. Before I get stuck into some of the more kind of technical questions, I just wanted to begin by asking you, how did you get into all this? Where did it start for you? Where did you start learning this contract law stuff?
Well, as I was a guest of the federal government of the United States, i.e. prison, for about 9.3 years, after being incarcerated for about a year, a guy came up to me and he said, would you like to read something interesting? Because he saw me reading these fiction books all the time, because I just read and study or whatever and nothing in particular. I said, sure. And he brought me a book called Cracking the Code, Third Edition. And that piqued my interest greatly. And from there on, I put all the fiction books aside, all the game plan aside, and commenced studying for the next, what I did, 24/7 from the rest of the time in prison, which is roughly another, probably almost 8 years of more prison time, so I got to have a great time.
Wow. And I've heard you talk about the chessboard story. Now, many people have heard you tell that story, but there might be new people that haven't heard the story. Would you just kind of run us through that?
Allow me a little backdrop for some of you.
Yeah.
I understand, and from the things I've read, it is said that almost the whole procedure of human life implies, or rather is, the continual fulfillment of contracts. And allow me to, it is said that all law emanates from contract or agreement. Therefore, contract is law and law is contract. Or stated in another way, contract equals law and law equals contract. Consent makes the law. I mean, contract. So with that as a backdrop, let's go forward. Over the first few years of studying law, I came to understand the power of the pen, the ink pen, ladies and gentlemen, or pencil, if you will, it matters not, a writing utensil. I was one day playing chess out on the prison yard compound when a guard came by and he said, hey, do you have a recreation pass for that chess set? Now, in my world, I believe that you have four doors to go through with every offer, and everything's an offer. He offered to take my private chess set, and I conditionally accepted his offer. He could have it if he wanted to pay $20,000 for the pieces, $10,000 for the little leather board, and $10,000 for the trespass. And that would be a price for taking it. He said, I'm going to take it anyway. And I said, well, if you do, it's perfectly okay, understanding that you're going to be incurring personally a liability in the amount of $40,000 overdue and owing to both you and your boss, the warden of the prison. He took the chess set. Now, under law, you have an obligation to try to resolve the matter with your brother first before you go whining and crying to the court system and burdening the public down at some Supreme Court, Superior Court, County Court, the public, if you will. I went to his boss, which was a lieutenant, and I said, LT, your guard, so-and-so, he took my private property, and the penalty for such is $40,000, and I want to know if he'd like to incur such liability also. And he said, you better go see the captain. I went to the captain, told him, look, so-and-so guard had taken the chess set. This was the gig. I went and saw the lieutenant. This is, he said, to come see you. He said, oh, you better go see the associate warden. That's one underneath the warden. So I went to see the associate warden, and I explained, brother, I went, your guard took my chest set. I went to his boss, the lieutenant. I went to his boss, the captain, and I've been now told to come see you to resolve this matter informally. He says, you better go see the warden. I said, not a problem. Thank you. I went to see the warden, and after going through the same thing and that the price was $40,000, the warden said, go see the captain. Now, I've already been to see the captain. I know he's looking merely for an argument. So my counteroffer was, you won't mind if I seek formal resolution, will you? He said, oh, not at all. I said, why, thank you very much. I left, and subsequently I did what we term as a private administrative process. I filed up some notices and some reminders that the guy forgot to respond to me, and maybe a notice of default and a consent to judgment, like what we call a three-part administrative process, that he owes me $40,000, and that's overdue and owing. He didn't do anything with that. Like most government officials, they help you out. They allow you to get whatever you want via tacit acquiescence. In other words, they go silent. They don't respond to you. Most people say, oh, they're ignoring me. Well, those that understand contract law know that I'd love you to ignore me. Refuse my tender. All of that means simply agreement. So, with that in mind, I filed an agreed-upon UCC against him for that amount, and all of a sudden, his life was affected. And he took me to federal district court to try and get the lien that was placed against him off. The court said that they had no authority over the commercial code of the state and rejected his offer.
Wow.
Case dismissed. He then sent me a letter on Department of Justice letterhead stationery that said if I didn't remove the lien, he would seek civil or criminal penalties. Now, those of you that understand law, that's called extortion and a threat.
Wow.
And when he did that, I put in a show cause order with the federal district court why he shouldn't be removed from office, arrested and removed from office, and he was. It was quite a stir at the compound, I might add. So it was very interesting to see the power of the pen, if you will.
Wow, that's incredible. So you basically established a contract, you put a lien on the guy, he tried to take it to court to get the lien removed. The court said we can't remove the lien because we got no authority over the commercial code. And then you asked the court to show cause why he shouldn't be removed from office, and he was.
Well, not because of that, only when he sent a letter of threat.
Oh, I see.
Or an attempt to extort. Because you see, in my world and my partner's world, Jack Smith, we believe very strongly you're under God or you're under man. If you're under God, you'll follow God's guidance for your commercial affairs. If you're under man, then welcome to the world of attorneys, arguing, fighting, controversy. And just like Matthew, in the King James Version of the Bible, Matthew 5:25 essentially says, agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest he take thee before the judge who turns you over to the officer, and you got to pay everything. In other words, you're counseled, go to your brother and resolve the matter. And so that's what we do. We don't need the public. If you're a commercial law expert, you can go to your brother and resolve it. You can get a judgment. You can enforce it. There's such things you can do, ladies and gentlemen. It's like manna from heaven when you learn law. I mean contract.
Wow.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that often. I'm going to say law. I mean contract. Sovereignty. I mean authority. We're going to learn a couple of words here maybe and a new meaning that will help us lay people to perhaps understand these, what are perceived. What do you mean? I want to get my sovereignty. What do you mean you want to get your authority? You were born with it. Who do you think makes, who enters into the contracts? We have, I believe it was Chief Justice Marshall of the Supreme Court of the United States and Supreme Court nominee Robert Bork in his confirmation hearings like about a decade or so ago here in the United States, that everybody that goes to jail volunteers. And I'm going to tell you that's true. there is nobody that is not in jail today that has not volunteered to go, meaning they didn't know how to resolve the matter, even though they may have done the crime, resolve the matter by a contract to resolve it without having to go pay the bill with your body being incarcerated paying the bill. Because in America, and as most of the world, all crimes are commercial. And you can go to 27 CFR, Code of Federal Regulations, 72.11, and it's thus so stated.
Wow, incredible. You know, a lot of people email me and they say, you know, the problem is, Ben, these judges are corrupt, and that's the problem. You know, we can't get justice because they're corrupt. What's your comment on that?
I'm going to ask you a question, Ben. Are you sure? Let's pretend that you said it. Are you sure?
No, I'm not.
Very good. Are you sure of anything?
Well, not entirely.
I hope none of you are sure of anything. Because J. Staples White has said, it has cost many a man life or fortune for not knowing what he thought he was sure of. Now, there are many people that believe that judges out there do whatever they want. They act like God in their little courtroom. They're corrupt, etc. Let's put it in perspective, because I'm going to say that they are absolutely doing their job and they are honest. Does that mean we won't get a judge now and then that does some, takes bribes and this and that? Yes, but that's okay, and I'll tell you why. I know that sounds strange, but we'll see if we can put it in a little perspective. As far as I am concerned, and I know Jack is concerned, we believe very strongly these judges are generally all contract law experts. And when you go into court, now, in common parlance or in colloquial speech, in common parlance, people talk of that going to court is the same as going to trial. And so it's really kind of, court is defined as the residence of a sovereign. Since all of you are sovereign and residence is wherever you are, you're always in court. So with that in mind, if we end up in a public court, that means there's a controversy between some parties that hasn't been resolved privately or yet to be resolved. These judges, if you're in court, you're in their inequity or at law, I mean a contract. Some of you have seen that statue in some court buildings of a lady with a blindfold on and holding an apothecary scale aloft. Most people don't know that her name is Themis, T-H-E-M-I-S, defined by Webster's Dictionary as goddess of law and justice, daughter of Uranus and Gaia, representative holding aloft a scale for weighing opposing claims. If you go to a public court with a complaint, an argument, a whining, and you're not there with a claim, the judge, by law and by the rules of the game, will be allowed to decide who's going to get what, because you're nothing but a debtor. Two kinds of people in the world today, ladies and gentlemen, and that's it. There's not black, there's not white, there's not yellow, there's not brown, there's not male, there's not female. It's debtors and creditors, and that's all you have. In the context we're talking. So, when you're in court and you're a debtor, rest assured the judge will do as he pleases, and he is rightfully doing such. You just don't understand the rules. If you're there as in a law court and you understand protocol, ladies and gentlemen, court's going to be a lot different than you've been accustomed to. You will walk out a winner every time. Jack and I have done hundreds of cases, and we have yet to see the judges improperly conduct themselves. From a layman's point of view, it looks improper. But from a contract law expert's point of view, I assure you, they operate with impeccable integrity, because we believe that government is there to drive you to Father in heaven, Almighty God. And they are servants of God, either knowingly or unknowingly, makes no difference. We won't discuss that point because that's lengthy. If that be the case, I would ask you this. How crazy do they got to make it seem to go into a court and crazy rulings all the time, and they sleep on the bench, and they do this and they do that. Well, they're perfectly within their right when they're dealing with debtors. They know that at the end of the case, why not sleep? At the end of the case, I mean, they don't do it all the time anymore, but you hear about it now and then. If a judge was asleep, what does it matter? A couple of debtors, when it's all said and done, he can decide how the chips are going to lay. And that's where they're going to lay. Now, if you're in a law court, he's merely the judge, and he's in his judicial capacity. And in that capacity, we're talking about a contract court. And if you know how to hold your contract, ladies and gentlemen, watch what happens. Oh, you're going to love the game. Never before has life been so bright or so beautiful. And when you understand the rules of the game, in my opinion, you're going to learn to love these wonderful governments that run the world. There's no room for monarchies and dictatorships anymore. You know, there's the Republic of China, United States, the several union states are organized as a republic. That doesn't mean there isn't a democracy. Now, most people don't understand words. It's called aphasia, A-P-H-A-S-I-A. That's the total or partial loss of the power to use and understand words. Most people think democracy means freedom. Where did you get such a fallacious idea? You can go right to Webster's Dictionary, look under mobocracy, and it defines it as democracy. Who wants to have the majority rule to decide what taxes, what you're going to do, what you can or can't do? Only a bunch of crazy people. But in a republic, and the simplest definition for a republic is a limited democracy. And that would constitute what I term, and Jack terms, a perfect government. What do you mean perfect? Perfect is also defined as complete or whole. Look it up in Webster's Dictionary. And therefore, if you have a government that provides a democracy for people that want benefits and school loans and medical insurance and Medicaid and Medicare and all sorts of benefits, what's wrong with that? They're entitled to have that government. The people want it in place, and they got it. Then there's those people in the republic, which there's a few of us. They don't want any benefits. And they know that the government is limited in the United States by the 17 enumerated powers in Article 1, Section 8 of the United States Constitution. And it is limited very much. A lot of people say, how can that be? I said, well, in our America, or where we have the several union states, the state of Nevada has the city of Las Vegas in it, and it also has in that state legalized prostitution and cat houses, they call them, you know, where prostitutes operate and sell their services. But such a thing is not legal in most of the other states. In California, they have medical, in the state of California, the state has passed medical marijuana. Yet some other states, like D.C., it's not a state, but other states in the several union states or the union here, there is states that do not allow medical marijuana. And yet the feds don't approve of either one. How can they do this? Because the federal government in America is a creature of the states, and it was formed merely for the convenience and safety of the states. Now, if in America there's a bunch of people that want to think that they're a name and that they're a citizen of the United States, sorry to hear that. If they understood the Supreme Court who said, United States is a federal corporation. It's in a quote called, it's 28 U.S.C. 3002, Section 15, Subsection 15. It'll tell you that the United States is a federal corporation. It is neither a country nor a nation. It came about being called that from all of the abroad travel outside of the several union states. You didn't say I'm a Californian or a Texan. That's my country. You got used to saying I'm a U.S. citizen. That's where that came about. But the Supreme Court of the United States has ruled it is both historically and politically incorrect to refer to the American Political Alliance as anything other than a society. It is not a country nor a nation. And there's an article called Cooperative Federalism that anybody can get off the internet that just is a 73-page layman treatise on said subject. And once you start learning who they are, who you are, how it all operates, and the rules of the game, you're going to find that this government, like the government in England and Canada and all these civilized governments out there, are the most wonderful thing that we could ever hope for that God has blessed us with. It's no fun to deal with a 900-pound gorilla called the federal government in the United States if that gorilla is after you and you don't know how to deal with him. Or the government in England, the crown, if the crown is after you in Canada or in England, it's no fun because you got this 900-pound gorilla that you don't know how to train or how to keep in check because you don't know the rules of the game. Can any of us play any sophisticated game without knowing the rules? Well, I contend the rules are not.
Okay. All right. I pretty much think that lays it out for us. It's contract law. And once we learn how to master the game by simply learning the rules, then we can do something with it. I have another caller with his hand raised. And if any of you all have any questions or comments and stuff, go ahead, and we'll see if we can get you answered.
Peace, brother.
Peace, brother. Area code 770. Tell me who you are and where you're calling from and what's your question or comment.
All right. This is Tiger out in Georgia. All right.
Okay,
and I've been listening. All right, brother. I've been listening to the recordings that you've been playing of Gordon Hall and the interview with Ben Lowry, and these are all correct to an extent. From what I understand and what I've seen of your work, you're more, correct, brother?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. As of more, I don't know how extensive your exposure has been to the court system, or in terms of actual time in or having to stand on your square. But in terms of mixing this information with status, a more status, you do realize that it causes certain difficulties for you without full comprehension.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, go ahead.
I also heard you mention an executive letter, if I'm not mistaken. Is that part of your package?
Yes, we have that information, and also the information that we're listening to tonight. All of this is inside my library, yes. But let me address your first question. I think it was the broadcast before last when I did nationality and your birth state. And what I try to get the Moors to understand is what the prophet has already told us. Don't get rid of your instruments that you've gotten from the Europeans, your driver's license, your birth certificate, and all this stuff. And what I try to get them to understand is when you proclaim your nationality and you want to do that before your government, if there's anything that you're going to do with your nationality, you do that before your government. But now when it comes to dealing with the court system, because you were born in the United States before we even knew anything about the Moors, your mother and father gave you a name, and you have a certificate of live birth and stuff with that name on it, and that name is a bond. It's on the birth certificate. It's got your footprints on it. That's your landmarks. That is a bond, even though it's been sold as discount securities around the world on New York Stock Exchange.
You do mean, if I may interject, brother, but we need to be very, very specific and exact. You do mean not birth certificate, but birth record, before the birth certificate was issued, the
okay.
one that they informed on you on. That's the one with your footprint on it, and that's the one that you're speaking of, correct?
Yeah, that's a little certificate of live birth. Most listening audience know what I'm talking about. But your parents got that. The only point that I'm trying to make to you is what I do is when it comes to dealing with the courts, Just like the prophet says, don't flash your IDs and stuff before them. Now, my sovereignty, my nationality, and all of this stuff is proclaimed before my government, but I don't waltz into a courtroom and try to do anything as a Moor. I'm a Moor. This is my nationality. Here's my Moorish documents and stuff. No, we don't do that in this society, in this government, because it has a system that exists. And what we're trying to do is explain to the brothers and sisters that is operating in commerce. Now, if you got commerce over here on the left and you got your sovereignty and nationality on the right, we want to keep them both separate. I would never waltz into a courtroom, even though I know how to stick the cord and walk in there and they call the name out, regardless of what you do. Even if I went and took my Moorish name, which is Tahaka Amana El Bey, and went down to the court system and had that entered onto their records, what they're going to do is they're going to take that name, even though it's a sovereign and holy name and a righteous name and all that, and they're going to throw it up in all capital letters because they are dealing with the fiction. This is this is not a country, it's a corporation. And just like the gentleman has already told us, they operate in commerce. So I would never go down there and do that. So now if I'm going to deal with them, I'm going to deal with them in commerce, but I'm going to deal with them with knowledge concerning the rules of the game.
I agree with you, brother. This is the clarity that I wanted to bring. That's why I called in, because we have to realize that the public and private side and nationality have to be kept separate. And at the same time, what happens is when you go in there, you should already have one, meaning that they have to be put on notice beforehand. They are becoming much more aware, and they have tactics, especially down where I am in the Gullah Territory. There are brothers that are catching contempt charges because they're changing jurisdictions midstream, not having prepared paperwork ahead of time and putting them on notice, not putting them in default beforehand, not leaning them. Even though some brothers that are, like myself, leaning them severely for past experiences, they now have a Georgia law, I like to put this out on the air too, that's going to be in effect. They've already passed it on July 1st that will make it a felony to file a commercial lien against a government employee in the Gullah Territory. Now, again, that's a whole other subject because the legality of it or who falls under the jurisdiction of this law, being that they're corporate fiction and you're not exactly privy to their system if you've already established your status yourself. So also the wording, meaning a frivolous lawsuit because of a brother that put million-dollar liens on government officials here for a traffic ticket, things like this. So that, and also the words paper terrorism, you know, putting that out there. So they're trying to just mix the whole pot together and get the baby thrown out with the bathwater. These are the things that need to be addressed, be clarified, and have a game plan to deal with them. And again, I think that the keys are some of the people that you spoke about. I've studied them extensively over the years. Gordon Hall, like I mentioned, the interview with Ben Lowry, Credit and Commerce. These are not always to be applied in the same exact way as the Europeans apply them, though, and that's why I called in for that clarity, even though you don't want to include your Moorish nationality in it, but you do want to have certain statuses already established and have them on notice so you've already won before entering their arena. And then still bringing the commercial process in the private side. And I'm thankful for the time that we were able to speak so that I could at least put that out there.
Okay, well, I certainly appreciate you calling in, brother, and if you just hold on. For those of you who are listening to this, if you will go back to the show that I did prior to last show on your nationality and your birth state, where we did a two-hour broadcast making sure you understand how to keep this thing in proper perspective and how not to mix this thing up. Also, you have to understand that each state is similar to a separate country that have their own rules and regulations and guidelines and stuff. But what we are looking for is we are looking for the foundation and rules of the game so we can learn how to play the game, and then we can use our own strategies and stuff and enable to win. But we cannot win at all if we do not know the rules of the game. Now, if I walked into a courtroom and I'm a Moore, Divine Minister for the Moorish American National Government, I walk into a courtroom, I'm coming into that courtroom and I'm not coming in there as a Moore. I'm walking in that courtroom in commerce. I've already did what I had to do. I've already put them on notice that there's a problem. The person that they are claiming that I am, it doesn't exist, and I'm going to need them to provide me with proof that they are and what they're saying is true or what have you. But that's all going to be in commerce under the fiction that they're attempting to deal with. I can't go in a courtroom as a Moorish American without a government backing me up. The judge, if I walk up there and say, well, look, I'm Tahaka Amana El Bey, I'm a Moorish American, I'm with the Moorish American National Government, well, he's going to look behind me and see if, where your government? What government back here? No, what we're dealing with now is we're dealing with commerce, and what I'm attempting to do by having this broadcast is to deal with brothers and sisters, regardless of whether they are more or not more, that have problems and looking for ways to try to get some relief for the immediate situations that they're involved in. I'm also making them aware that they have a nationality, and they should study everything about their culture, their story, and all of this stuff. And the Moorish American National Government is available, and they can look that up right there on SevenSealsPublication.com or MoorishAmericanGov.org, and they can learn all about that. But what I'm trying to do is make sure in dealing with this thing step by step and in more than one broadcast in order to get some clarity. But I certainly appreciate you from calling in, because you're absolutely correct. We seen this a long time ago. That's why this is my second attempt to deal with contract law. The first time we dealt with it, we had a brother come on and briefly discuss about contract law. But this time what we want to do is come in and deal with it from a whole different and longer perspective, so that we can lay all the cards on the table and let them know that there's a difference. You don't, if you do not have a government backing you up, why would you go around and violate what the prophet has already told you? He's told you don't flash your ID before Europeans. That causes confusion. Do not get rid of your birth certificate, your driver's license, social security card, and all this stuff, because those are that's evidence. But now you got to live, you got to eat, you got to breathe, you got to live, and so let's deal with how we can deal with this now. What is it that we can use to get some relief where we are, and what's the difference? How do I deal with my nationality? How do I deal with commerce? And this is what I'm attempting to do. You have another question, brother?
Well, I'd like to add on to that I agree with everything that you've laid down, and it seems like the next logical step also would be to start to put a bug in people's ear about the next level of contract law, which is under contract law, I should say, which is trust law, which is how they're operating. And the executive letter does have some flaws. I've studied it extensively. I've seen how they're reacting to it. So I'll speak to you offline about that. But still, the knowledge of trust law. Mm-hmm.
You messing with the next broadcast.
Yeah.
That's all
yeah.
Right, brother. Ladies and gentlemen, y'all heard that? Okay, we going over that too, but I didn't want to mention that yet, because we okay. All right, brother, I appreciate you letting us know. That's we going there too. Don't worry about it. We going.
We, We'll speak about that off the air, you know, because we got to put our heads together on this, because I've been in their face. You know, I've stood on my square. I've done my time. They put me through it, you know, and I had to learn the hard way. I have some elders that have, you know, groomed me along the way. Some brothers out here that are listening will know who this is. This is Tiger, you know, so it is what it is, and I'm here to help. And we could talk about the rest of that off the air, because I do have some things I feel that have been missed by others, and they're taking baby steps. And also, time frame-wise, as you can see, everybody knows the climate. They're looking to throw, you know, lobs at you to get you to react. Brothers are talking about that. And I like the fact that you pulled Gordon Hall's lectures on not reacting and trying to go militant on them, because that is not the answer right now. That's what they're looking for, so they can lock this down and all this stuff gets thrown out the window, and there is no remedy. They're looking to leave you with no remedy. So right now, cooler heads must prevail. Emotions got to be put on the shelf, and we got to strategically dissect it and come with the plan that is going to work in all circumstances, no matter how they come. And that means a team. Brothers are standing on their square alone and wondering why they're getting swept and knocked the hell out, you know, because you can't do it alone. You need some kind of backing. And so I'm here. Y'all know how to get at me. Facebook, you know, call this brother if you need to, because I'm going to collaborate with him. And there's remedy. There is remedy. There's some other brothers that are not even on the radar that I speak to on a daily that y'all don't know about that are doing. They're doing it big, you know, in terms of real estate and remedies on that end. And definitely it's all the same process, whether it's real estate or whether it's commercial charges. People don't even understand how this is going down. They really need to get this education. So I'll leave it at that for now, you know, but definitely, brother, you know, just wanted to add some clarity because it's necessary. And sometimes, you know, two heads are better than one, definitely. So peace to the family, and I'll leave it at that. I'll sign off and listen to the rest of the show off here.
Okay, brother. Well, we appreciate you, and thank you so much for calling in.
All right, brother. Peace. Islam.
Islam. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate Brother Tiger for dropping that little information. But since we know now, we are going to be doing a broadcast on trust. And first thing you have to remember, and I've already said this over and over and over, for those of you who already have the library, you already are in motion doing your estate letter and position yourself as the executor of the estate, you already know that the estate supersedes the trust. But what about the trust? How do we deal with the trust and all of that? That's going to be reserved for a different broadcast, and we're going to deal with that. But right now we want to continue on to get as much clarity and as we can possibly get involving contract law. And the formula is very, very simple. It involves acceptance and of an offer and make a counter offer. Acceptance and offer. Acceptance and offer. And that's what is understood across the board inside the United States. But we do have individual states that have different little rules and regulations, but that does not mean that the foundation of what you're dealing with has changed. They cannot change that. They may have other little angles and stuff, but they cannot change the overall format of the situation, which is contract law. And everything is involves contract, even if you go to jail. They said, okay, we're going to search you down. I need you to sign here. We're going to fingerprint you, sign here. We're going to take your clothes and give you ours, sign here. And you're going to see the nurse sign here. And the whole process is, you know, a voluntary process. It's all involving contracts. But when we understand the rules of the game, then we can play the game successfully. Our chances of winning increases, okay? Now, if you are contacted by someone, if someone contacts you on the telephone, usually a bill collector will say, well, may I speak to so-and-so? And you say, well, who's calling? Well, I'm calling from such and such a place. I need to speak to so-and-so. Okay, that's me. Well, I'm calling from so-and-so place. This is an attempt to collect a debt. any information, so on. Okay. It is at that point that you need to understand that the person that they're trying to contact and place a call to does not exist. It's in all capital letters. They have to deal with the fiction. So what you have to do, if you go ahead and do it verbally, let them know your position verbally. Right off the bat, there's no such person. Your record should contain the person's in all capital letters. That's not a living, breathing person. However, I'm so and so, and I'm not a fiction. I'm not a corporation, and so on and so forth. And I will be forwarding a letter with clarity and making copies of that letter for my own record. And so that is called going to your brother and trying to get the matter solved informally. And you always want to keep records in the event that you have to deal with the situation formally. The first one we deal with in an informal fashion. And if you get something through the mail, and it got you in all capital letters, go ahead and make a copy of it. Go ahead and counter that and send that to them and make them aware of what you're doing. It may not hurt to let them know that you are aware of what's going on. The United States is not a country, it's a corporation. It's all in commerce. They're attempting to collect a debt from somebody that don't exist. It's a fiction. And put that in and save it for your records, because that sets you up for a formal resolution. So when you do have to file, go ahead and send them a letter with your and let them know how much it's going to cost them for the attempted extortion. Okay? It's just basically learning the rules, learning how to play the game, and then going ahead and deal with the thing. Now, I have another caller online, and I see area code 516. I'm going to open this up. Area code 516, could you tell us who you are and where you're calling from and what's your question or comment?
Peace. This is Ed from Long Island, New York.
Hey, Ed. What can we do for you?
How you doing, brother?
That's fine.
I wanted to talk about, I got a question about the student loans.
Okay.
I've heard about how they, once you sign the promissory note with them, mm-hmm. that they sell the notes.
Mm-hmm.
And how you could basically discharge the debt would be to ask them to provide the note that you signed with them. And if they can't do it, you could basically put a default up on them.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Do you know how to go about doing that procedure?
Well, I've actually sent them a letter asking them to bring that up, and they actually did send me a promissory note.
You're asking them to send you some information on how to hang them?
No. I asked them to provide me with a promissory note.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Just,
all right. Well, what I'm trying to get to before you start actually dealing with this thing, and what I try to encourage everybody to do, first thing you want to do, you want to learn all about it. You want to learn about the whole ball of wax. I always ask my brothers and sisters if they would request the 14th Amendment exposed in the commerce game. If you just send me an email address, they talk, or let me get the free literature you offer, and I will send that to you, and you can start studying that information and understand that, because see a certain thing that you want to understand before you get out there and in the rain. You want to make sure you got some training, some experience, and go ahead and send me an email address before you send me a quick email. And I go ahead and get that to you, and you can send it right to Tahaka99, that's TARHAKA99 at yahoo.com,
and I will send that to you. And also, all the other backup information is inside of Tahaka's library, and we make that available to people. Also, one other thing that I want to mention is we are now officially have our Black's Law Dictionary, Volume 1 through 9, and we also have John Bouvier's, we have Bloomsbury, we have Ballantyne's Law, 3rd edition, Oxford's dictionary, as well as the Essentials, all in one dictionary, and we're making this available to you all, those of you who are doing research, and with this these libraries and with this amount of information, it doesn't matter what word on earth you're trying to look up, you can find it in these materials. Okay, you have another question, bro?
Oh no, that's it. Thank you so much, brother. I'm going to email you right away.
Okay, brother. I certainly appreciate you calling in. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if there's anybody else out there that got a question, go ahead and raise your hand, and we can see if we can answer it for you. And because I'm trying to make sure that everybody understands this little simple formula of contract law, and I want to make sure that I answer everybody that's raising their hand at this time. We have about 20-something minutes, and there's plenty of time for us to get to know one another. Also, while we are waiting for the next person to raise their hand, I want to say that just like I have said earlier, we're offering the 14th Amendment Exposure as well as the Commerce Gang. Go ahead and hit me up for that, and I'll send that to you in an email attachment. We have also have one of the biggest and most powerful libraries out there, and this was designed and created for people of African descent and Moors and everybody that's been classified as Negro, colored, and black. So go ahead and contact me at area code 904-303-9061 in regard to this library, and we'll get that to you. Please try to call me before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that way I can work on you. You know, I'm up early, so if you wake up and it's 8 o'clock in the morning, you can start dialing, and I'll go ahead and answer the phone. And we'll get you in there, because the more knowledge you have, the more power you have, the more that you can do. And we're definitely trying to get you to understand the power of your estate, the birth estate. We want you to understand how to create your estate letter. There's a 43-page manual on all the background information that you need to know is in that library. Also, the 8-page step-by-step instructions on how to craft that letter is there. And then there are several letters, for example, that you can use to go ahead and do this. And we got brothers and sisters all over the United States that are well on their way now. I talk to them every day. They're making progress, man. They're doing it up. So if you're looking for some way to a way out, a way to earn you some money, you know, instead of somebody else taking advantage of something that belongs to you, go ahead and call me, Tahaka Amani LB, at area code 904-303-9061, and we'll get you in that library and show you around and then show you exactly where it's at, how to do it, how to get on it, how to, you know, all info, who to send it to, everything is there. We got the whole ball of wax covered. For those of you who are trying to learn about your nationality, you can call me about that. It's in the library as well, but you can also go to SevenSealsPublications.com. That's SevenSealsPublications.com, or you can go to MoorishAmericanGov.org. And if you do, I'm asking that you go there and examine the whole site, you know, check the whole thing out, inside out. And if you still have any questions, go ahead and call me at area code 904-303-9061, and we can try to help you with that. Just give me a holler before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I hope we have answered all your questions, and I don't see anybody else raising their hands. I think we've gotten everything pretty much answered here. Let me take one more look at. Let's deal with this. How contract works and how do you profit? Okay, well, you know, that's real, real simple. I know we've already covered that because when you accept an offer and you enter a counter offer that carries liabilities, that's the amount you're seeking. And the next step is to go ahead and contact the head of the company, the president, owner, what have you, and put it in there and have your documents laid out and have the amount in there. And they contact you, and then you go ahead and spell it on out, go ahead and talk and see if you can get them to go ahead and forward the income to you informally. But if they are not willing to do that, just go ahead on and seek formal resolution. But do not go into another man's court on nothing but a mo. No, we don't do that. That's proclaimed before your government. And if you're going into his court operates under contract law and this stuff here. Okay? All right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are coming to the end of this broadcast. I don't think anybody else have any more questions. And I'm going to go ahead and close the show down. So next time, don't forget that we will be dealing with trust, and we'll be dealing with the estate and trust and stuff, so we can make sure that we got all this thing down to a science. Okay? I've been your host.
But Lord, no, there's got to be a better way. Oh, why?
Area code 651.
This is a Charles calling from Minnesota.
Okay, Charles, what can I do for you, brother?
Yeah, you know, I wanted to ask you about the trust that is set up that the Moors have.
The trust.
Are you familiar with it?
Yes, I'm familiar with that, but I have to speak with you in regards to that offline.
Oh, all right. Is there a number I could?
Yeah, you just simply call me at area code 904-303-9061.
You said 9901?
No, 303-9061.
Oh, all right. Now, you know, as far as the nationality, could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Your nationality?
Yes.
Well, everybody has a nationality. Every person on the planet, every group of people, every country, they all have a nationality, and all that nationality is associated with a landmass. But what is taking place inside the United States is we have over 60 million some odd people of African descent who also have a nationality, but they have been written out of what's called, being called the respectable commentary of history, and labeled as Negro, Black. In other words, so that they cannot connect to their landmass, which is the land that they're standing on. They've given someone else credit for being the natives of the land. They have called them Indians, which is they're not Indian. These are descendants of Chinese Nomads. The only Indians on the landmass came from the country called India. The original inhabitants of the landmass were people of African descent. You're the rightful owners of the land. You've been written out of history, and you've been labeled as something other than what you are to keep you from recognizing the fact that you do have a nationality just like everybody else on earth, and your nationality is Moorish American. And that is what is on the record. That is what coincides with the mandate. That is what has been declared by the prophet Nobadu Ali. He was the first one to declare himself a Moorish American. It is recorded. It is law. And all people of African descent on this continent can claim their nationality. We ask you to learn everything you can about yourself and about your culture and all the background and historical information, and have that information contained in the library, and we make it available for people of African descent only.
All right. And your name, brother?
My name is Tahaka Amana Elbe. If you got a Facebook account, just send me a friend request. I grant it. Just send it to Tahaka, T-A-R-H-A-K-A, Amana, A-M-A-A-N-A, and then Elbey, E-L, and then B-E-Y. And because that's where we post all the information that you would need to study. A lot of the information is posted there.
Oh, all right. You know, the only thing about it is that, you know, I don't have a Facebook account.
Okay. Well, I'm all over the Internet. You can just type my name into your browser, and you can listen to my previous broadcast on Blog Talk. Either you can go to Tahaka's live feed where all the previous broadcasts are listed. On Black Planet, MySpace, Dig, all the other little local sites as well. I also have articles on Black Talk Radio. I'm over on the Drop Squad. There's information that's placed there as well. But all you have to do is type a name to your browser.
You know, are you one of the Grand Sheiks of the Morsan Temple? Or one of the officials of this thing?
No, I'm a divine minister for the Moorish American National Government.
Oh, all right. All right. All right, brother. Thank you so much. And I will be contacting you.
Okay, well, I certainly appreciate you calling in, and if you contact me at a later date, then we can discuss
the nationality and give you all the, as much background information as I possibly can.
All right. And, you know, and I'm calling from Minnesota.
Okay. That's okay. Just give me
all
a
right,
shout.
Bro. All right. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
Peace.
Peace. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're coming to the close of the broadcast. And just don't forget that we have now officially available Black's Law Dictionary, Volume 1 through 9. That's a ton of information. We have Bloomsbury Dictionary, Ballantyne's Law, Third Edition Dictionary, Oxford's Dictionary, Essentials, the Essentials Dictionary, and John Bouvier's Dictionary. All this is in one package. And we can get that to you. Just simply contact me at area code 904-303-9061. We have another call online. I'm going to click on this here. Okay, area code 651. Could you tell us who you are and where you're calling from? Area code 651.
I don't know whether that's me again, because I'm area code 651.
Brother
Charles. You know, I guess I don't know how to undo it. I press one.
Well, that's all right. I just happened to glance up and see another flag raised, but that's okay. I'm going to go ahead and close this thing out, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right, brother. All right, Pete.
All right, Pete. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget, send me your friend request. I've been locked out of Facebook, so if you go ahead and send me your friend request at to Haka Amana L Bay on Facebook, I'll go ahead and grant it. That'll get you in there. You'll be able to go to my wall and other social information that I placed up there for you. Very informative, very educational. All of my shows go there as well. You can also contact me at area code 904-303-9061 in regards to the library, and we'll get you in there. Okay. And don't forget,